triumph?
I thought I'd try to get ahead of this cold, and so I really got my coal stove cranked up, put some wood in there, and I got up at 2 in the morning. It was 85 degrees in the living room. Oh. Got to add a little wood with the coal to really get going. But okay, 1 John 5. Last week looked at the best thing that comes in three. Thing or the best that comes in three. And so 1 John 5, 7. If things go according to plan, Lord willing, next week I'll be in Southern California. Suffering for Jesus. So a friend asked me to preach out there. 1 John 5. Okay, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Remember that John is retained his apostleship to the circumcision. That's why he writes it that way. Christ is usually a Jewish designation. And everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. I think we're just saying that. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven. The rest of the verse is removed from the New Bibles, so you don't know what the three would be. Gone. That's why they're easy to read. There's less words. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, uppercase W, that's found seven times in the Bible. That's flesh and blood, now flesh and bones, Word of God, the Lord Jesus. And the Holy Ghost. My brother-in-law says when you change Holy Ghost to Holy Spirit, your Bible, you gave up the ghost. It's a dead book. But Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And then eight, there are three that bear witness in the earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree in one. So there's a parallel that helps explain these three are one, and verse 8, these three agree in one. So last week I was going through the idea of threes and how fascinating they are around the world. But let's go ahead and pray first. Lord, I do ask you to help us to draw close to thee. Lord, we kind of crazy being out here in this cold weather, but we thank you for a nice heater. Thank you for a building. Thank you for a place where a church can meet. And Lord, I just pray you'd help us to love you more. Help us to understand you a little bit better. Help us to use our mortal minds to try to somehow understand an immortal God. There's so many things we're not going to get because your understanding is infinite. But Lord, one thing I know, I can't stand out in the cold. And who can stand before your cold? I pray you'd help us to understand this idea in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, there's a Latin phrase, omni trium perfectum, and that's translated to mean everything that comes in threes is perfect. Okay, Nikola Tesla believed in a 369 theory and vortex math. He thought it was the key to the universe. But last week I hit a lot of the threes in life and some of the threes in the Old Testament, so I'll try some of the threes in the New Testament. Where you start in the front, you have three wise men came to see Jesus, and they had three gifts, three types of gifts. And then remember after 3 days when Mary and Joseph lost Jesus, when he was 12, after 3 days they found him in the temple teaching. One of the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven is a woman takes three measures of meal and puts leaven in it. That's a picture of a false church putting false doctrine in meal or false Bible. There were thousands of people who went 3 days without food before being fed. That's the feeding of the 4,000. Remember that Peter suggested, should we make three tabernacles? The Mount of Transfiguration, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. There were three people involved in the parable of the Good Samaritan. Jesus divided the Old Testament in three divisions, the law, the writings, and the prophets. There are three crucified at the third hour of the day. Three languages, Hebrew, Greek, Latin. Jesus said, the only sign I'm going to give you is the sign of Jonah, where he died and rose again after 3 days and three nights. Yes, he died in the well. Yes, he went to hell. I believe those words. I believe those words. Okay, and so for 3 days and three nights. In Acts 2, 3,000 souls received Peter's message. In Exodus 32, 3,000 souls were executed. Okay, you have Saul, who spent 3 days without sight before he met Ananias. And then Peter, when he was told to, that with, the Lord wanted Peter to witness to Cornelius, he knew he wouldn't do it because the Jews have a mindset against Gentiles. So the Lord gave him a strange vision, and that vision, that sheet came down three times. And then three men showed up, and then he brought Peter over to Cornelius. Okay, and so it says, Paul's shipwreck, Publius hosted Paul for 3 days after the shipwreck. Their stay was 3 months. They tarried in Syracuse for 3 days. There were three taverns. Now, in the Bible, tavern is like what we would say is an inn or a motel. And then Paul appealed to the Jews there in Acts 28 for 3 days. And you got the famous chapter about charity, faith, hope, charity. Paul was a private student, a tutor. His tutorship with the Lord Jesus was 3 years at Mount Sinai. As Moses received the doctrines for Judaism at Mount Sinai, Paul received the truths of God for Christianity at Mount Sinai. And then in Revelation, you have three unclean spirits like frogs. How about this one, Edward? Let's just go with this one, if you would, if it's going to act up. And so the Godhead in 1 John 5:7, this, as I mentioned, this verse, for there are three that bear record in heaven. The New Bible's put a period there, and then they don't put the rest. Okay, they do not include the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And there's a reason for that. Last week I mentioned about this idea of modalism, where some will take John 14, where Philip asked Jesus, can we see the Father? And then Jesus said, you see me, you've seen the Father. And so then people will say, well, that's modalism. They won't say modalism, but then they say, well, Jesus is the Father, and the Father's Jesus, and Jesus the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost is Jesus. No, he's not. Okay, because in the same chapter, when you scroll down, guess who else is one with the Father and Jesus? Every born-again believer is one with Jesus Christ. And I know one thing, I'm not looking at Jesus this morning. And Jesus sure is not talking up here. But I am one in Jesus Christ. So the Bible is such a fascinating book. Now, if you would go to Acts 17, this is the first time the word Godhead is found in the Bible. The word Godhead would be the Bible word for Trinity. Some folks frown on the idea of Trinity. It's just man trying to describe a Bible idea. I realize there's fake Trinities. I totally understand that. There's fake everything. Satan said, I will be like the Most High. And so he's going to fake everything, and he's going to fake the Trinity. Usually a fake Trinity will have a male and a female character and a son. That's usually what a fake Trinity does. Okay, in Acts 17, verse 28, Paul is using the techniques of the Athenians to try to appeal to their conscience. And this is a pattern that you do in witnessing. And it's not that you have to read a bunch of other people's material. Just with experience, you begin to catch things. And realize that anytime you have a discussion with somebody, the bottom line issue in every discussion is final authority. That's the bottom line. Okay, the football game, two opposing teams. What's the bottom line? Final authority. Who's the final authority in a football game? The referees. Okay, and then people say, well, you shouldn't argue about Bible, you shouldn't, you know, debate, you shouldn't discuss it. Okay, but can we brainstorm it? And then they sit there and watch a football game. And they don't have an equal, can you imagine this woke generation have equality of outcome in the football games today, where the score is tied at the end, equality of outcome. Who's going to watch the Buffalo? Oh, Buffalo's going to play today. Ooh, is that going to be cold? Okay, but there we have it. Paul is using the poets of this day, Acts 17:28. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. People can't leave the Bible alone. There was a famous atheist years ago. He talked more about God than Christians did. Somebody asked him, why don't you just shut up about God? Why don't you leave God alone? He said, he won't leave me alone. And that's a fact. So he's using their poet, and you can see that. Okay, so man always communicates things of God unbeknownst to them. And then he says this, for as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone or graven by art and man's devices, man's device. But notice the mercy of God, the long suffering of God. 30, and the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commanded all men everywhere to repent. In the Old Testament, and in many ideas of life, God looks at our intention. Why do we do what we do? It's like the one fellow. Do you remember the one fellow where he got leprosy? And the little maiden girl said, boy, if you was at my home, my preacher could help you. My prophet would help you. He'd heal you. And that was Naaman. And so Naaman, he thought that if he goes to the Pentecost or the Charismatic Healer, there's going to be a great show, and he's going to put on a big show. And Elisha just said, when he found out the guy was there to be healed, he said, just go dip into Jordan 7 times. That's good enough. And Naaman thought, oh, come on. You didn't bop me in the head. You didn't hypnotize me. You didn't go, whoof. You didn't do anything. You didn't brag about me. Go dip in a Jordan River. You're nuts. I'm not going to do that. And then one of his buck privates said, come on, why don't you just give it a try? He went and he got healed. He got healed right on the spot. Then he wanted to give a bunch of things back to him. But you see, then after that, he had to, because of his military calling, he had to go to the pagan temple, because if he wouldn't, he'd probably be AWOL or whatnot. And here's what he said to Elisha. He said, I'm going to go to that pagan temple, but when I'm in there, I am worshiping my God. Intent plays a big role. Intent. So the Godhead, here in Acts 17, the Godhead acted in harmony with the creation. That's why Genesis 1:26, let us make man in our image. You see, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost acted in harmony at the creation. Romans chapter 1, verse 18, the creation is God's outward witness to every single person. There's a creator. There's a maker. Your conscience is your inner witness. So we have the inner witness, we have the outer witness. The creation is the outer witness, and that's the second time the word Godhead is found in Romans 1, verse 20, and that's the creation. Okay, and so in the creation, the Godhead worked in harmony, so you and I, each of us, have a body, soul, and spirit. God the Father parallels your soul. The Holy Ghost parallels your spirit, or the energy or the life-giving force, that's your spirit. And then the Lord Jesus parallels your body. And a third occurrence of Godhead is in Colossians 2, verse 9. Colossians 2, verse 9. Now it says in Acts 17 that we are the offspring of God. Now, this is one thing a lot of times people get confused, say, oh, man is born in God's image. I'm born in God's image. No, 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 no. I was born in the image of my dad, my mom, first time. Image of your natural parents. I got born in the image of God when I got born again. Okay? And that's two separate things. Adam wasn't born in God's image. Adam was created. The first person born of God. The Lord Jesus Christ. Very first person born of God is the Lord Jesus Christ. Nobody got born in God before the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he's the very first, the Lord Jesus. But when we're each of us are born in your natural birth, according to Genesis 5, verse 3, Seth, the third born son of Adam and Eve, okay, and Seth was born in the image, in the likeness of Adam was a fallen man at the time. And so we're born in the image of God at the new birth. Okay, and so that's very important to understand. Colossians 2, verse 9, it says, for in him dwelleth, in him, Jesus Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. The first person, the firstborn of the Father, the first begotten of the Father, Hebrews 1, 5, and 6 says. Now, within the Godhead, okay, when we, any of us say the Godhead, or let's use the word Trinity, how do we say it? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Why do we say it like that? Why don't we ever say the Holy Ghost, the Father, the Son? Matthew chapter 28, the Lord Jesus said, you're going to call in power. And it says you're going to baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And the one name that applies to all three persons of the Godhead is Lord, uppercase L-O-R-D. Thus saith the Lord. In the book of Acts, at one time it says, thus saith the Holy Ghost. That's equal to saying, thus saith the Lord. And so there's a hierarchy in the Godhead, okay? And we'll see that. If you would, try 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And this is an idea a person needs to meditate on and think about. And then bring that into your horizontal relationships, this hierarchy, okay? There is a hierarchy in this. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 3, Paul wrote, but I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. That's the hierarchy. Okay, there's a teenage girl out in Colorado Springs, when we were out there, and she would jokingly say, is that your head or did your neck throw up? Oh, that's pretty funny. That's good. I like that. Okay, but, men that are lovers of their own selves, and that's a problem we have today, they'll put that hierarchy and they'll force that hierarchy as a Gentile does. But in that hierarchy, you have the Father, the Son, voluntarily exalts the Father, and the Holy Ghost exalts the Son. That's the hierarchy. The Father doesn't make the Son exalt him. He chooses to exalt the Father. And this is how you show the charismatic movement is so whacked out, is because their Holy Ghost glorifies gifts, tongues, all that person. In John chapter 16, it says the Holy Ghost glorifies the Son. That's the hierarchy. There's a hierarchy in that, where that's a voluntary thing done. The Holy Ghost glorifies the Son. Now, at the same time, there's an equality. At the same time, you have a hierarchy, but you have an equality. Okay? The hierarchy, remember Jesus Christ said, the Father is greater than I. That's the hierarchy, John 14, 26, 28. But then he also said in John 10, 30, I and my Father are one. So we got to figure that out. We got to think that through. Okay? And so, because Gentiles have a mindset of lording it over people, and they want to bully people, this has crept into the church. And so, pastoral authority, you know, and bully people, and, you know, you build your life, and all this stuff. That's Gentile. Jesus Christ said something else. He said we're to serve. Okay, and so there's a hierarchy. In sports, that would be called a chemistry. Okay, you could have the most talented athletes, but if there's not a chemistry, if you have two alpha dogs in a sports team, there's going to be a fight in the locker room. If you have two alpha dogs in a marriage, they're going to be a fight. Going to be a fight. And so there's a hierarchy, but there's an equality. There's an equality in this. Jesus said in John 10, verse 30, I and my Father are one. Now the Father, people often say, Jesus never said he was God. He did say he was the Son of God. But that's okay, and the reason why he didn't say that, because the Bible says you let somebody else boast about you. And the Father in Hebrews 1:8 says to the Son, thy throne, O God. So the Father calls his Son God Almighty. God. He's called God Almighty in Romans, in Revelation chapter 1. So the Son is equal to the Father in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. He says, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. That's a mind of humility. Who, being in a form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. Okay, if you leave the door open on a day like this, what's somebody going to say to you? Close that door. What, you born in a barn? Guess who was born in a barn? Jesus Christ was born in a barn. That's right, born in a manger. That's where that comes from. And it says he made himself of no reputation. He didn't get the schooling of higher education. He was homeschooled. Okay, and all that stuff. And then when he got to start speaking, the higher educated folks said, how did he learn? How does he have letters having never learned? How did he do that? Well, read. I mean, that's how he learned. He said, made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant. That's what he is telling those apostles. And made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now in 1 John 5, verse 7, it says, there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word. And there's the biggest problem why that verse has changed. The Word, uppercase W, the Word, that is equaling the Lord Jesus Christ, the flesh and bones Word of God, with the paper and ink, lowercase Word of God. The Lord Jesus Christ is without error today. Therefore, there must be a written word of God today that is without error. The Lord Jesus Christ is counterfeited. There's another Jesus. There's another Christ. Therefore, there must be a counterfeit Bible. And I'm not talking about the Jehovah Witness Bible. That's just one of many. Has to follow the same lineage. Same idea. When I put that to Kirk Cameron on the telephone at one time, he was silent for about 15 seconds. And I just let the silence do its work. And that was back in 2007 when we had that conversation. And about 2 years ago, Jan, was it 2 years ago we went up here with Miss Ronnie to the pro-life thing and Kurt Cameron speaking? So he was up there. That had been 2000, probably 22. Was that 22, something like that, 2021? So we're talking 14, 15 years later. And so I waited for all the people to kind of walk away from him. So I thought, I'm going to go get my shot, you know. So everybody walked when I walked up there, and I said, now, I'm sure you don't remember our conversation. I'm sure you don't remember. Do you remember? Years ago, we had a conversation on the telephone about the manuscripts and the Bible and the perfection of the Bible. He goes, I remember. Yeah. And then he wanted to have a discussion for, you know, he said, man, I could talk about this for a long time. But then one of his bodyguards said, we got to get going. You see, and so, yeah, he remembered that. You see, the uppercase W, word, flesh and bones, word of God, Jesus Christ, equal to lowercase W, paper and ink, word of God. That's why that verse has changed. And they're one. They're one. The Godhead are one, or as Jesus said, is one. The three are one parallels. The three agree in one. The mathematical equation, one times one times one, is one. And the Lord lays it out. Now, there is a distinction in the Godhead. If you would, try Matthew 3. There is a distinction in the Godhead. In Matthew 3, at the baptism of the Lord Jesus. Matthew chapter 3, verse 13. And just as you and I, born again people, born again believers, we are one in Jesus Christ, and we are one in each other, but there's still a distinction. Matthew 3, verse 13. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it to be so. For thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. So here you can see the word baptized is associated with water, but not in every case. You got to read the context. There are seven baptisms in the Bible. Three have nothing to do with water. One has to do with hot water. You don't want to be baptized with fire, that's for sure. So he says, and he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. So the Lord Jesus is standing in the water. And lo, the heavens were open unto him. Boy, how far away is that? And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. So here comes, in a bodily shape like a man, the Spirit of God. He descended like a dove. So he had the Spirit of God coming down. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is me as I stand in the water and I descend down upon myself. That's modalism. This is my beloved Son. The Father spoke. The Holy Ghost descended down like a dove. In whom I am well pleased, the Lord Jesus Christ, being filled with the Holy Ghost. This is the distinction. You see, if you would try Luke 3, and this is where it's in a bodily shape. The body is the shape of a man, not a dove.
Now, I understand that people usually use a dove. There's an evangelist many, many years ago, a black evangelist, and he wanted to make a real good showing about the Holy Ghost. You might say it in one word, Holy Ghost. And so he had his a young fella who was going to be on the top of this building, and he was able to open it up. And when he came to the crescendo of his message, and he was going to brag about the Holy Ghost, he's going to have his young fella drop a dove down. And the dove's going to come flying through, and he's going to be a great, he thought it was going to be a great effect. And so here he is, and he said, the Holy Ghost came down, and the Holy Ghost didn't come down. And he said, the Holy Ghost came down, and the Holy Ghost didn't come down. And the young black kid stuck his head through the hole. He said, a cat done ate the Holy Ghost. So he didn't get the Holy Ghost to come down. And so in Luke chapter 3, you'll see it says here, now when all the people were baptized, verse 21, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened. And the Holy Ghost descended in bodily shape, then like a dove upon him. The bodily shape is in the shape of a man. Where if you take the soul, put a sheet over it, and it looks like Casper the Friendly Ghost. And that's what the body is. The body is the home for the soul. The soul is the body for the spirit. At salvation, the Holy Ghost takes a sharp two-edged sword and cuts our soul and spirit away from our body. That's called spiritual circumcision. And then he says, and a voice came from heaven which said, thou art my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And so, upon death, because we have spiritual circumcision, the born-again believer, the soul and spirit leave the body. Okay, and we go, this is a departure gate down here where Paul said, my departure is at hand. So his soul and spirit leave the body. Rachel, when she was given birth to Benjamin, it said that her soul was in departing, for she died. In James 2:26, the body without the spirit is dead. So the departure gate, we have tears of sorrow, but the arrival gate, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Tears of joy at the arrival gate. I find comfort in that. I find great comfort in that. We don't have sorrow like the world's sorrow. I can't imagine a lost man at the cemetery. We can say, see you later. They say, never see you again. And that's why the Bible gives us comfort. There's a unity within the Godhead. There's a unity. And that's what Trinity means. Tri-unity. Three in unity. Uno. Union. Unit. Unison. Unique. United. I mean, all that one refers to unity. In Genesis chapter 11, verse 6, what you do is you run the Bible words. Now, if you try to look up the word one in the Bible, man, we're talking over 1,000 verses. If you're really going to be trying to look them up. But in Genesis 11, verse 6, we'll give you a shortcut. It says there at the Tower of Babel, at the Tower of Babel, thousands of people, if not millions of people. I believe that before the flood, they were far more advanced than we are today. Much further advanced than we are. And I believe that they have probably more people than we have today. Okay? But at the Tower of Babel there, that was after the flood, but at the Tower of Babel, it says the people is one. So at that, if you run the human growth rate, you're probably talking there at the Tower of Babel, probably in the millions, not billions. I got confused with the before the flood and after. So the Tower of Babel is after the flood, so you're talking millions of people, and it said the people is one. So were they all Siamese twins or something, or Siamese millionettes or whatever you want to call them? No, the people is one in unity. Build a tower to reach unto heaven. Now that's some technology. Yeah, they had some technology back then. And then in Genesis 41, remember the story with Pharaoh where he had two separate dreams? And when Joseph interpreted them, he said, the dream is one. No, you're confused, Joseph. There were two. No, but there were one. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul said, as he wrote, he said, Paul planted, Apollos watered. He that planteth and he that watereth are one. Two separate people, you see. And so the thing in a marriage where two become one, okay, and then he thinks he's got the brain to do all her thinking. And then he forces that hierarchy. Don't forget the equality. She's one in Christ. And don't forget Ephesians 5:21, first, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God before you try to cram verse 22 down her throat. It's got to be, that's addressed to her. That's her choice. Okay, and that's the chemistry. That's the hierarchy, but there's an equality. And the growth in grace that we have seeks to unify this goal in true worship of God in spirit and in truth. If you would, try it, John chapter 17. This is the true Lord's Prayer. He has a great request in this prayer that the ones who believe in him become one as he is one with the Father. And then he says in John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. And then in verse 20 he says, neither pray I thee for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. That's where I got in. Right there's where I got in. That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. And you're going to try to tell me I can get unborn again? Go kid somebody else. I'm not buying what you're selling, the person selling. That answer to prayer, the initial answer, took place in Acts 2 on the day of Pentecost. And then every born-again believer from that day on, from Pentecost, from that day on, in answer to the Lord Jesus Christ's prayer, became one in Jesus Christ. That's the true baptism we want. If you would, try 1 Corinthians 12. And this baptism has nothing to do with water. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13. God is amazing in his writing where a person can assume something when it's not there. And the way he writes this, the word water is not in the context. It's not anywhere in the passage. This is the one baptism that saves. And it's got nothing to do with H2O. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into water? No, one body. We're placed into one body. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been made all to drink, all made to drink into one Spirit. What is that body? Drop down to verse 27 and read inside there. You got the whole thing. Verse 27, now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. Boy, isn't that an amazing thing. Happiness is neither within us only or without us. It is a union ourselves with God. That's where true happiness is found. One in the Lord. Okay, let's pray. Lord, I do pray you'd help us to see this position, this relationship that we have with thee, and it all begins at the moment one believes in Jesus Christ to be his or her Savior, and then you take over. Belief is a light switch, and then the power comes through, and it's through the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for that request. In John 17, thank you. you get your prayers answered. Thank you that you prayed that we'd all be one as you and the Father are one, and we're one in Christ because of faith in Jesus Christ. We thank you for that. We thank you for that great promise that we have for the born-again believer. In Jesus' holy name I pray. Amen.